This morning, I just want to start out by asking you if you have ever maybe thought this, or maybe you even articulated it at one time since we've been in this crisis, but maybe this thought has come to your mind. Since the Lord is the all-powerful God, and we know He loves His sheep, then why are we going through this coronavirus pandemic? Maybe you've been thinking that. Maybe you have actually said that. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't, that's fantastic. But I'm sure there's been other trying things in your life, and you said something similar. Something like, since the Lord's the all-powerful God, and He loves His sheep, then why did I just get laid off from my job? Or why is my loved one going through cancer? Or why are my kids getting bullied by their peers? Or maybe you're a kid and you're listening right now and you're wondering, since God is all-powerful and He loves me, why does it seem like then my parents can't get along? I don't know what your situation is right now that's trying. And I'm not certainly attempting to minimize any of the pain or the hardship. I just want you to understand that all these kind of statements and all these kind of thoughts, they boil down to really one question that we want to know. Since God's the all-powerful God, and He loves us, His sheep, we want to know, why then is life so hard? And if you're discouraged this morning, if you're wondering, since all these bad things are happening to me, then why should I keep following the Good Shepherd? If that thought is entertaining in your mind right now, you're entertaining that thought in your mind, if you're thinking that, maybe you've said that or you're wondering that, what we're going to see from God's Word here this morning is going to be helpful. It's going to give you some guidance and some direction for your life in those times. So I invite you to open your Bible to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to be looking together at verses 11 through 21. And if you were unable to listen live last week, I just want to give a little bit of review so that you'll have a better understanding of this text. When Jesus was on this earth, He ministered to multitudes. Many of the Jews that He ministered to were described during that time as people like sheep who had no shepherd. And that was particularly evident in John chapter 9. And I hope you were able to read that yesterday. Jesus healed a blind man. And this blind man was thrilled that he could now see. He wanted everybody to know. I'm sure you and I would be the same way. And he went into the synagogue to tell everyone what Jesus had done. And the so-called shepherds of God's people, the Pharisees, they kicked him out of the synagogue. They didn't want to hear anything about the words of Jesus or the works of Jesus. These people, they were supposed to be under these shepherds, these so-called shepherds, and truly all they were people who were like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus directly confronted these Pharisees in John chapter 10. And in that text, He basically points out that they're false shepherds. He called them thieves. He called them robbers. And He set Himself apart from them. He identified Himself as the true shepherd of the sheep. Or as we heard last week, the door to abundant life. The one who provides salvation and security and satisfaction for His sheep. So this morning, we're going to now pick up with verses 11 through 21, and I want to share with you four reasons to follow the Good Shepherd. Reason number one is because Jesus selflessly died for you. We see that here in verse 11. I'd like to read that for you. Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." As you read through the Gospel of John, if you've not done that, you have some time right now, some extra time, I encourage you to read through it. You will notice as you read through the Gospel of John that the Apostle John draws our attention to seven I am statements that Jesus made. This is the fourth here in verse 11 of the seven. John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I shared with you last week, John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And here, he identifies himself as the good shepherd. And if you like to mark in your Bibles, I would encourage you, in verse 11, underline that phrase, lays down his life. And as you're underlining that phrase, don't stop right there in verse 11, because Jesus said the exact same thing again and again and again. Underline it in verse 15, verse 17, verse 18. And when you're finished underlining that, I just want you to stop and just think. Think about that statement. And as you're thinking about that statement, friend, isn't it marvelous? It's absolutely incredible that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, he willingly and obediently to his Father laid down his life. He shed his blood on the cross for you, for me, for us, his sheep, in order to deliver us, to rescue us, to save us from our sins, the penalty for sin being death. And friends, this is, and it forever will remain, the greatest sacrifice of all time, ever. And so in verse 11, when Jesus claimed that he is the good shepherd, he was clearly setting himself apart from the Pharisees. You'll notice in these next two verses that he identifies the Pharisees now as hired hands. So allow me to read verses 12 through 13 to you. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. During this time, physically speaking, sometimes Jewish shepherds were able to bring their sheep into a city or a town, and in that city or that town, they had a sheepfold inside it. And this was a more permanent structure than the sheepfolds that the shepherds would set up with stone walls out in the pasture. And they would pay a hired hand to watch their sheep at night. And this hired hand was supposed to be the one to lie across that one opening into that sheepfold and protect that shepherd's sheep, to keep them from being destroyed or stolen by thieves and robbers or wolves or other animals. And so as Jesus is sharing this in verses 12 through 13, and that's all packaged together in all that he said in verses 1 through 13 now, his audience, what they would be thinking about would be those sheepfolds in those cities. And they all knew that what Jesus said about these hired hands in verses 12 and 13 was absolutely true. In fact, I imagine that maybe there was a shepherd or two in the audience when he was speaking that could have given testimony like, yeah, one night I had my sheep in a sheepfold in Bethlehem and some of them got stolen because a hired hand fled for his life. I'm sure they could relate. And Jesus was sharing this as an illustration to point out to them that, hold on here, technical difficulty, losing some power to my phone. Let me make sure it's plugged in here. All right, we're back in business. Thanks for your patience here. It's great to have technology when it works, and we'll just hope it keeps on rolling here for you. But anyway, as he's talking about these hired hands, he's identifying the Pharisees as not being true shepherds. He's basically telling the people that they only care for themselves. They weren't concerned about feeding and protecting the sheep. What they were concerned about was making sure their mouths were fed, that their lives were protected. And so they could care less if the sheep went hungry, as long as their bellies were full. They could care less if a wolf came and destroyed the sheep. As long as they made it out alive, that was all that they were thinking about here. And with this illustration, Jesus was telling these people that he's not like that. He's the true shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 9 earlier, he said, I'm the door. And he says, if anyone enters into a right relationship with God by faith in him, the good shepherd, they'd be saved. And earlier in John chapter 6, he said some good news. He said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I'll raise him up on that last day. So friends, this morning we praise God that Jesus, our good shepherd, he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He owns us. He purchased each of us with his own blood when he laid down his life on the cross. Friends, he proved by his actions that he truly does love and care for us. He loves and cares for us more than he cares for his own personal desires. You hear that in his prayer in the garden. He loves and cares for us more than his own personal life. We read about that with him laying down his life on the cross. And he promises in John 10:10, he will not let some thief come to steal and kill and destroy. Verse 12, he will not let some wolf snatch us and scatter us. And why are we able to say this so confidently today, friends? It's because towards the end of John chapter 10, Jesus promises something amazing. I draw your attention to it again this week. Verse 28, he promises to keep us for all eternity. He says no one is able to snatch us out of his hand. It is truly astonishing, friends, to think about this. Because as you read through the Old Testament, you read about the Old Testament way of salvation, and it was the exact opposite. In the Old Testament, the sheep were the ones who were dying in order that the shepherds and others would be saved. But in the New Testament here, John 10 specifically, Jesus is saying the good shepherd died. He selflessly died so that his sheep could be saved. In other words, this means that Jesus, the good shepherd, he stood between us, the sheep, and the wolf. And he allowed the wolf to attack him and to kill him so that us, his sheep, could be saved. So the first reason to follow the good shepherd is because Jesus selflessly died for you. Reason number two, Jesus personally knows you. One thing I haven't mentioned about these sheepfolds that were in those cities and towns is this. Each of those sheepfolds were large enough to be able to hold more than one shepherd's flock. And so there would be several shepherds' flocks of sheep in one sheepfold in those towns or in those cities. And as you're thinking about that, you're probably maybe saying in your mind, that's not a good idea. That would be kind of foolish to put your sheep into one sheepfold with all kinds of other shepherds' flocks of sheep, because in the morning, how on earth would you be able to get your sheep, your very ones that you've worked hard to get the way they are, how would you get them out and on with you. Well, Jesus explains how this all worked in verses 3 through 5. He says, to him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, verse 6, Jesus tells us that he was saying all this kind of as a figure of speech, but they just weren't getting the message. And so in verse 14, he tries to further explain it by saying, I am the good shepherd, and I want you to pay attention to this. He says, I know my own. Now, before the sheep would enter into that sheepfold each night, the good shepherd, he would lower his rod in front of that door. And then he would take his staff, and he would hook one of his lambs, draw them into himself, and he would carefully examine each and every one of his sheep. He would be looking for bruises. He'd be looking for cuts. He'd be looking for things that could disturb them, annoy them, frustrate them. And he would care for each and every one of them before he let that particular sheep go into the fold. And after he inspected each and every one and they were safely inside the sheepfold, the shepherd would pay that hired hand and turn in for the night. Maybe get a warm cup of coffee or a hot meal. Maybe take a warm bath. Get a good night's sleep. And then in the morning, the shepherd would go back to the sheepfold, and Jesus said he would call out his own sheep, and he would lead them out. And I'll tell you, studying this, I wasn't real sure that that actually happens. I'll admit, I was a little skeptical. So guess what I did? I went on to Google, and I typed in, do sheep only hear the shepherd's voice? And I hit enter, and it's amazing. There are videos of shepherds proving that this is the case. And I'll post one in the comments for you to watch and enjoy after I'm done here. But I'm just sharing all this so that you can get a picture in your mind of just how much our good shepherd knows each one of us. And this doesn't mean that his knowledge of us is limited to an intellectual awareness. Christ is saying in John 10, friends, he personally knows you. He personally knows me as one of his own. And that's the message of the Bible. The Bible says that he created you in his own image. He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He fearfully and wonderfully made you. He knows before a word is on your tongue. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And I understand I might have some friends who are follically challenged right now watching this. And guess what, friend? If that's you, I'm not making fun. I'm just making you aware. Jesus knows your situation. Bible says here, John 10, he knows your name. He knows your likes. He knows your dislikes. He knows what makes you happy. He knows what makes you sad. He knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows your fears. He knows your concerns. And he doesn't just know us. The Bible says he cares for us. He knows each of our needs, and he knows exactly what is best for us. And I want you to notice at the end of verse 14 what he said. He said, I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And when I read that in verse 14, friend, it leads me to a crucial question that I have to ask you right now. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Can you say with confidence this morning that the Lord is your shepherd? And if you're unsure about that, if you can't recall a time where you put your faith and trust in Him to save you, I urge you right now to make that most important decision. To turn away from those sins, confess them to God, and trust in Jesus Christ to save you. The Bible gives a lot of hope. It promises in the Word that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says you will be saved. It goes on and says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you've not done that, I encourage you, urge you today to do just that. And if you need to have some help with that decision, if you want to know more about the gospel, this good news I'm sharing with you, on our Facebook page, our church website, there's ways that you can get in touch with us. And I'd encourage you to take advantage of those. Reach out to us, email or call, and we'll be glad to share more about this good news with you and help you in any way we can spiritually. For those of us who truly know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, I just want to encourage you to join me in allowing our Good Shepherd to search us, to care for us, to do His good work in our lives, even in the midst of this crisis, these trials, these hardships that we find ourselves in. And as we allow God to do that, we will then be able to say, like the Apostle Paul said, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing working of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. So as our Good Shepherd faithfully cares for us, here's what also happens in that situation. As He cares for us, we get to know Him better. Each and every day, listening to His voice, He speaks to us each and every day through His Word. Let's feed on these green pastures and drink from these still waters. The second reason to follow the Good Shepherd is because Jesus personally knows you. Reason number three, Jesus graciously includes you. Verse 16, and I have other sheep, Jesus says, that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And as you think about that verse, friends, it contains some amazing news, whether you're a Jew or Gentile listening this morning. And I could say a lot from just that single verse, verse 16, but as you consider what Jesus is saying here in verse 16, in relation to the entire context, it's very likely that Jesus was talking about the sheepfold there in verse 1, and He was referring to that sheepfold being the Jews or being Israel. And so if that's the case, then that would make the doorkeeper, verse 2, to be potentially a reference to John the Baptist, who we know the Bible says prepared the way of the Lord. Meaning then that John the Baptist, he opened the door for Jesus to enter the sheepfold of Israel, verse 3, and call His own true sheep by name and lead them out of that barren fold of Judaism and to lead them into the rich pasture of abundant life in Jesus Christ. And that's precisely what Jesus did for that blind man in John chapter 9. And that's what He wants to do for you who are listening right now. See, Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save the lost. He's the way for the lost sheep of the house of Israel to be saved. And what we just read in verse 16, He's the way for the people from every tribe and language and people and nation to be saved. Basically, what Jesus is teaching there in verse 16 is this, that the gospel brings both Jews and Gentiles together into one flock with one shepherd. That's what he's saying. And that was an extremely radical thing to say, because the Jews who were listening, they completely despised the Gentiles. They referred to them as unclean dogs. And the Gentiles were hostile towards the Jews. And yet here's Jesus in the midst of both, and he's teaching both groups, there is not two saving covenants. There's not two saved groups. There's not two ways of salvation. He makes it clear in verse 16. Later on, John 14, he makes it clear there's only one way of salvation, and that is by faith in the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So bottom line, what Jesus is promising in verse 16 is to bring his sheep who listen to his voice, to bring them together into one body, which is called the church. He brings us together regardless of our ethnic, our economic, our social backgrounds. He makes us one. He is our one shepherd. And since Jesus graciously includes all who believe into his flock, then that means, friends, that he wants you to be active in his flock. Jesus never intended for his sheep to isolate themselves, to live separate from one another. We are shelter in place in Illinois right now. We kind of have somewhat of a glimpse of what it means to live in isolation. And I don't know about you, but it's not fun. Okay, it hurts. It's frustrating. There's some pain. It's boring. It gets old. Okay, I'll say it. I admit it. And yes, we're thankful for technology. Technology we were able to use last Wednesday to connect and pray with one another through Zoom. Technology to go live and be able to hear from the Word of God together right now in this live stream. And you know what? I'll admit, yes, there's some conveniences doing things this way right now. I mean, we don't have to leave our homes. We can wear comfy clothes and be involved. But what Jesus is saying here in verse 16 is something we need to take to heart. The things that we're doing right now, friends, they will not be a permanent substitute. They cannot be. When this pandemic is behind us, God wants all of his sheep to assemble back together to be his church. Literally, sheep thrive when they're together with the flock. They protect one another. But when one decides to stray, or one decides to isolate himself or herself, they're putting themselves in a position to quickly fall prey to the enemy. And loved ones, I just want to encourage you, please, with this little break, don't stray. Don't choose to now go on and isolate yourself from the church. I don't want to see you get destroyed. Instead, when we are able, we must faithfully assemble back together as a church, because it's a tremendous way for you and for me to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And not only love God together, it's a tremendous way for us to love one another and grow in our love. And you will see here that the third reason to follow the Good Shepherd is because Jesus graciously includes you. Reason number four, Jesus victoriously conquered the grave. Now, if you underline the phrases "lays down his life" already, then you probably noticed a key phrase that's repeated again and again in the next two verses. Look at verses 17 and 18. I'll read those. Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. But I lay it down of my own accord. And I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. Many people can claim that they will lay down their life for someone else. Maybe you have said something like that. Maybe to a friend you've said, I would lay down my life for you. And that's wonderful. I know that I, as a husband and as a father, I've said something similar to that to not only my wife, but I've articulated that to my kids. I personally see it as my responsibility to protect my wife, protect my kids, even if it means it costs me my life. If you're a husband, if you're a father, I understand you probably feel the same way, and that's wonderful. But in this text, the greatest friend of all, Jesus, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep that I may take it up again. That is good news. That's one of the things that separates him from us. He can lay down his life, but he can take it up again. And you know what's incredible? Is that Jesus went on to do exactly what he said. And I'll admit, verse 17, it is a challenge to understand. Because if you casually read this and not carefully read it, you might think that the Father was withholding his love for Jesus until he finished his work on the cross and conquered the grave. But if you would read on in Scripture, you'll learn quickly that that's not at all the truth. Because when Jesus is praying to his Father in John 17, he acknowledged that the Father eternally loves him before the foundation of the world. And so knowing that, believing that, when you go and read verse 17 carefully, look through it through the lens that the Father has eternally loved his Son, what you can conclude is this, that what Jesus did, his willingness to take the form of a servant, to be born a man, to humble himself, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, all of that that Jesus said and then did, it drew out his Father's love, his Father's forever love for him in a unique and marvelous way. That's what I think verse 17 is getting at. Maybe this illustration would help you understand it a little better. I don't know. But at the beginning of the month, I was able to celebrate a birthday. And Kristen made me a Belgian waffle for breakfast. It was delicious. And then we took the kids to school, and after we dropped them off, she took me to get a great cup of coffee together for my birthday. And following that coffee date, we went on to try out a new restaurant, and we enjoyed a nice meal together. And then we rented a movie and we watched that together, and once the movie was over, we went and picked our kids up, and when we got them home, she made me my favorite cake. Angel food with 7-minute frosting. It is the best. Who's with me? Hit likes and loves right now. Angel food cake, 7-minute frosting. It was a great day. And at the end of that day, I said to her, honey, thank you for all that you did. It was a great day. I love you. Now, friends, prior to that birthday, I had already loved my wife. We've been happily married for 20 years. But all that she did for me that was special that whole day, it just stirred up within me a desire to express to her my love. And I'm just so thankful for all that she did. I know that illustration I just shared, it drastically falls short of the Father's love for the Son and the Son's love for the Father, because they have perfect love and our love is not perfect. But Jesus is making it very clear in verses 17 and 18 that his selfless death on the cross, it was not an accident. His victorious resurrection from the grave, it was necessary. It guaranteed that the Father accepted his sacrifice. He satisfied his Father's wrath for our sins. He saved his sheep from death and destruction. And this was his message As we wrap this all up together, you'll notice in these next two verses that not everybody appreciated this message. You see clearly in verses 19 and 20 a reaction. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" And as you look at that, is it any wonder that their reaction to this message, that there was division? I mean, within the message himself, maybe even in the heart of the message, Jesus clearly told them he is the door. As you think of a door does cause division. A door separates those who are in from those who are out. And Jesus in the Word does tell us that there's coming a day when he, the shepherd, is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And until that day, friends, he says in this message, verse 9, that the invitation for you remains open. If anyone enters into a right relationship with God through faith in him, they will be saved. What I think is really encouraging is the reaction by others that we're going to wrap up with. Verse 21. They were starting to get it. They were starting to see the light. Listen to this. Others said, "These are not the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" What they said points us to two things that prove that Jesus truly is the Christ, the Son of the living God. His works prove it, and his words prove it. And I realize that you might be listening this morning, and you do not believe that Jesus is God. And if that's you, friend, I just encourage you to take the Bible and just read through the Gospel of John, John 1 through 21. And while you're reading that, I want you to just listen to the words of Jesus. You'll find them often in Bibles in red letters. Pay attention to those words. But not only pay attention to those words, pay attention to his works. And I think that as you listen and you see his words, his works, you will come to this conclusion. It's my prayer that you will. That Jesus is the one you need to put your trust in. And that it is absolutely foolish not to follow the Good Shepherd. Yes, the decision to trust in Jesus and follow the Good Shepherd does not free you from trials and hardships. We who are his sheep today, we know that to be true. Difficult things still happen to those who belong to him. But what we have that others don't have, when we follow our Good Shepherd through hardships and trials, like what we're going through right now, we have assurance. Assurance of knowing that even if our flesh and our heart may fail, God still is our strength. He's the strength of our heart. He's our portion forever. And friends, that's good stuff. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us your word and feeding us well from your word together. And God, I pray for my friends right now who are struggling, who are discouraged, who are doubting, struggling to follow the Good Shepherd. I just pray, Lord, that this message will encourage their hearts and help them in their walk. I pray for those who need Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would turn away from living for themselves and trust in the one who is the living Son of God. God, I pray that we would faithfully follow the Good Shepherd all the days of our lives, knowing that he will be our portion forever. Use your people to spread your good news in the midst of difficult times, God. We love you. Thank you again for loving us first in Jesus, we pray. Amen. I was supposed to go on vacation spring break, but as you know, things have changed, and so we're gonna have to postpone our trip. And what does that mean? It means I will be sharing live next Sunday, and we're going to pick up again in our Acts Witness series, beginning with Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. So tune in next week, and I will be thrilled to be able to share some good news with you. Lord bless you. Lord keep you. We're praying for you. We love you. Have a great Sunday.